When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 on the FM side. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP on yet another Victory Monday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careersmios.com. We'll check in with our colleague Doc Walker coming up at 8:20, but joining us right now as he does every Monday after a game, and lately it's every Monday after a win. It's John Kime, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How about that, huh?
Hey, John. Speaking of wins, you tweeted this yesterday. The over-under on Washington's win total of the season was 6.5. They became the first team to hit the over this season. Pretty remarkable that they're hitting it in week 9.
I mean, it is. And, you know, it's easy to explain sometimes, and it's hard because the quarterback is really good and it's such a different atmosphere out there. But we know what we've watched in recent years, and to think that it would go be like this after 9 weeks, I think is you'd have to have a lot of blind faith to have thought it would be this good after 9 games.
Just to start with something that we usually don't start with, let's hone in on the offensive line. I was really impressed by them, not only because they were playing the Giants, who had this reputation as this great pass rushing team,
they
leading sack guy, Dexter Lawrence.
As a team, they were the leading.
Yes. Yeah. But in particular, in the fourth quarter, when they needed big conversions, the pass to Eckler, the pass to Oz, I mean, I don't think there was anybody within 3 feet of Jaden Daniels.
No, they've done a really good job. And I think, so this speaks to everything that they really didn't get last year. And first of all, I think they're, like, Biadasz is a good addition, and Allegretti is a good addition. And I think Brandon Coleman was a good draft pick. So you have to start there, but I also think that it's a combination of other factors. One, Daniels is a really good quarterback. That always helps. And then two, with Kingsbury, like, they chip the hell out of those defensive ends.
Right.
And they, whether it's a running back, a receiver, a tight end, they're constantly doing that. And not just, it's not just going and giving a little love tap, right? It's a blow to the body, and that slows them down, and it puts the tackles in better position. That all helps. So I think it's such a combination of factors. And even in the run game is fun to watch because there's a lot of things that they'll do that creates confusion, hesitation, and better blocking angles. And so I think it's a well-coached group, and I think the group then takes it from there.
JK, do you think, sticking with the offensive line, do you think that the line is starting to get – you know, so much hype that maybe they're one of the best units in the league now?
Oh, I think the offense is one of the best in the league. And
yeah, but the line's been really good, man.
The line has been really good, yes. Yeah. And I think, but I, you know, just like, it's just even like last year when they're giving up all these sacks, you couldn't put it all on the line because there's so much that goes into it. It's protection, right? And so protection encompasses play calling, quarterback, you know, other players who have to make blocks. I mean, you watch Eckler picking up some of those blitzes, and it's really good. And my only thing in that, I don't watch all these other lines, so I don't know.
Yeah.
What I know, here's what I know. They're working very well. And it's a group that it's, you know, they're like little kids in the sandbox. They play well together. And I think the additions were, I think Biadasz has been a really good addition. and Cosmi's a really good right guard. And I think with Andrew Wiley, you know, it's funny because I've had these talks with him. Like, there are times where he said, like, I'll still mess up a block, but number five gets, you know, bails me out. Mm-hmm. But what you also see with him is more of what he can do. And he's a good run blocker, and he can get out in space and move. And so I think, like, I think what this group does well, too, is they have each of those guys. You know, Coleman's an athletic tackle. Mm-hmm. So you watch him. It wasn't like he was always one-on-one with the ends. But there were times when he was with, like, Burns, and his feet are just really good. And that, and it, you know, trying to push him out, and it just, his feet are always moving, but they can also all pull. So I think there's good talent there and good skill, but I think the coaches do a good job again, and then enhancing it. It's a combination of efforts here, and I think they're a very good group. They're a productive group, and they are a definite part of the reason why they're winning.
You know, you pointed out, I listened to your podcast as I was driving in, John, and you pointed out that I guess it's been since 1933 or since the stats been created that they've had a team through 9 weeks has had this few of turnovers. Meanwhile, at this point last year, they had 20.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. That they're both incredible that it's that big a difference, but the one is just unbelievable to think that it's that. But you go, like, it's not, and I can credit Jaden Daniels for some of that, right? Because interceptions are a big part, especially with the rookie quarterback. And he takes really good care of the ball. And there are some times, and I even talked about this on there, and like, but there are definitely some times where there are plays where you say, could you have made that throw? Well, yeah, probably. But you're also avoiding, you know, if you're not comfortable, don't, and protect the points. Or there was a play last week, if you remember the screen where he throws it, he just turfs it. And there's a defensive end there, probably could have dropped it over his head. We've seen quarterbacks try to do that, and we've seen him get in trouble because of it. So whether it's a tip or, you know, maybe it's your guy just grabs it, whatever, you don't get it over his head, whatever. He just turfs it, and you live to play another down. So just some, and you know, we've seen it other times where it's just he's smart with the ball. But you also then have to credit the backs because they're not dropping it either. Mm-hmm. So it's remarkable what how well they've been at protecting the ball. But the turnover, you know, any coach will always tell you, like, the turnover differential is always one of the biggest keys to a season. And, you know, they're doing well with it. And you see they caused a fumble yesterday, and Giants couldn't do anything.
John, I was really impressed by one of the few holdovers left from the Ron Rivera era, Chris Rodriguez. He has his number called because B-Rob can't go yesterday because he's facing both a knee and a hamstring injury, limited him. So he made the most of his opportunity, led the team, tied for the team league in carries with 11, led them in rushing yards with 52, averaged nearly 5 yards per carry. Like, he came up big when the team needed him to.
He did. Tough, hard runner. Mm. And, you know, it's funny because he didn't look as great this summer. I liked him last year. Like, I thought he was a good, tough runner and showed something that he could be on a roster for, you know, for a little bit and have productive games. And but the summer didn't always look as comfortable as I expected. And you weren't even sure that after he got cut, would they even bring him back to the practice squad? But he certainly looked comfortable yesterday. And so maybe it just took him a minute to get used to the system or whatever. But he runs hard. And I go back to some of the run game designs too, that they have, that I think helps these backs. But you have to also run hard, and he does. Like, he'll lower his shoulder very well and runs with a good contact balance. And so, yeah, no, it was a good job by him.
Let's talk about the defense a little bit. If there is an area that, yeah, I think, you know, you still got to be a little bit concerned about, obviously the run defense still an issue. Yeah. The back end of the passing game can obviously still be an issue. Yep. Dante Fowler, he's really blossoming, right? My God, is he having a season. How did Newton look? Luvu wasn't quite as visible. Is that an injury still kind of holding him back? Or
Mathis got banged up too.
Mathis banged up. What's going on?
Mathis banged up. So the first half was obviously a disaster in the run game.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I was watching this morning too, like, what, because the second half had changed. And what changed? And I felt like in the second half they did a good job. And I'll get to the question in a minute, but like, they did a better job of moving and causing movement at the snap and not being as static. And I think that allowed them to make some more plays. And sometimes that did involve Lubu with a run blitz around the edge and causing some disruption in the blocking, what they wanted to do, and fewer double teams on the tackles. Newton at times made some plays. You know, there was one in the second half where one of the few times where they were able to get, you know, not have him doubled. And so he's able to shed the block and go help make a play. And so, you know, but there are other times where I felt like they did a really good job doubling on the down of the tackles, which kind of negated some of what their effectiveness for sure. So, but yeah, Luvu, I mean, he didn't look, I don't know that it necessarily hindered him. I just think the style of the game, too. Like, you're going to see, you're going to probably feel him more when it's more of a pass-heavy attack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's when you can really do a lot with him. So in these kind of games, like, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of taking on the blocker. You know, the other problem, too, was Daniel Jones. Like, after that run he had, there were, like, several plays in a row or several plays in the next, you know, series or two where they're taking a Luvu out of the play by, you know, the quarterback action. So you're anticipating maybe another zone read run. So Luvu's got to stay outside and the run's going inside, right? So they're able to kind of take him away a little bit by just some of the action of that. But, you know, but yeah, Newton had, I haven't watched all his plays, but I know that in the first half there were definitely a number of double teams on him and Payne. And then the second half, some of the early plays that I saw, he was able to get a one-on-one and shed the guy.
JK, what's your vibe on what Adam Peters may or may not do before tomorrow's deadline at 4 o'clock?
So listen, we always know that every GM is going to be talking to a lot of other teams for a long time. Like, anything that happens now, they've been working the phones for a while because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So if it's funny, people get excited when they hear that. It's like, well, they're always doing that. Like, that's, it's a constant thing. But so clearly they could use some secondary help. Mm-hmm. I think we know that. I don't anticipate some big swing. I think they're very determined to maintain how they view it as the proper way to build, which is, build through the draft, supplement other ways. I think they realize they need more than a couple, pieces to get way over to get to that place where they want to be. It's not just, you know, win the division, make the playoffs. It's, can you build a consistent team that can compete for titles? So I don't, like, if they did something, my vibe has been more bargain shopping. You know, you have multiple sixth and seventh round picks. If you're going to get a rental player, that's what you're going to give up. I don't see them giving up anything high. It would be hard to, depending on who it is and the situation, it'd be hard to see them giving up something more than a low round pick for a rental.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I'd have a hard time seeing them give up a higher pick for someone just based on their MO. You're giving up picks and then probably cap space for a player that maybe you could get for just cap space in the off season. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think they're going to give up a second or third round pick for someone.
No,
but,
no.
But Adam and Dan might in Kingsbury, they might go in the offices and go, man, we're better than we thought we were going to be. We're a legit Super Bowl contender. So if we can make a move or two, even if they're minor moves, it makes us better.
Oh, I think for sure I could definitely see them making a move. I just don't. I think it's more, again, if it's a rental, you've seen some of these other ones around the league for sixth or seventh round picks, or maybe there's a pick swap involved in there. You know, I think you could definitely see that because, you know, you can, if you can improve your roster now, it doesn't mean if you give up a sixth or seventh, you're not sacrificing your future.
Yeah, right.
You know, so like, I could definitely see that. I don't think it'd be some big swing, but I could definitely see something like that because they do need some help in some areas. And if you can find a guy, you kind of owe it to yourself and your team to get that guy without sacrificing the way you believe you can do it. I think there's a way to do both, and that would be the way. So, yeah, I could, you know, because they do need, listen, we know they need help at corner. They need, if nothing else, they need more depth there. And you know, you could always use more, you could use more depth at receiver or anything like that. But I don't think you're going to get the receiver that you necessarily want. They're doing a pretty, like, Noah Brown's done a really good job. Diami's been a help when he's been able to get the ball. So, you know, I think the corner would be the big area. Yeah.
You know, speaking of corner, unless I'm missing something, I don't think Manny Forbes was inactive, but I also don't think he got any snaps.
No, he didn't. There was actually one time where I saw him start to go on the field, and then I think it was like a fourth down, and then it was one where they ruled that he actually got it, and then he had to come back off the field. That's the only time that I remember seeing him out there. I haven't checked the snaps, but
I don't see him listed.
And here's the other thing: like in a run heavy game, you know, I don't think I'm going, especially with what they were doing. A lot of jumbo packages, it's going to be hard to get him in the game in that situation. And
Real quick before we let you go, just getting back to my question about the trades. This is just a fan talking, but they may look at the Eagle games, and the first one's in 2 weeks, and they might go, all right, what can we go out and do to try and stop Barkley? Because Barkley's killing everybody. And if they think, all right, we're going to win the division, we obviously need to beat Philly. Who can we go out and get to stop Barkley or help stop Barkley?
Well,
and
maybe, I think you're going to have to give up a pretty high pick to get that guy. You know what I mean? I don't know who.
I don't know if it's a safety or if it's another linebacker.
Their linebackers are Louvu and Wagner. So you're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think then you'd need somebody inside or something like that to kind of get to him before he gets to the open field, right? So I don't know. I think what you could do is you could look and say, do you need more depth at certain positions to combat that offense in particular? Because they do have other good talent. And I think that, you know, could I see that? Yeah, I mean, I did.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Like I said, I could definitely see them making a move. Just when, you know, can you get a good bargain move? And it doesn't even have to mean a bargain player necessarily. Well, it's not going to be an impact player, but can you get a decent player for a low round pick? And if you can do that and bolster your roster, then it makes sense to do it. But I don't know who you're going to get to stop Barkley.
Or maybe
that dude's jumping over guys backwards.
He's ridiculous. Yeah. And maybe they don't make any moves. Who knows? We'll see.
No. And I don't know. And I think, as we've always said, even before the season, like, I really like what they were doing to build long term. You just didn't know how it would look short term. But I don't, you know, and I think the one thing that, because there is that school of thought, like, well, now you're in position, but how many pieces do you need? What would it cost to really get you to that point where you say we know they're legitimate NFC East contenders. They're legitimate playoff contenders. Yeah. If you want to build a consistent team like that, are you at that point? And, you know, that's the hard one. But, I don't think they're going to sacrifice. The thing that I think you can feel good about if you're a Washington fan, they're not going to sacrifice their future to just try to do, like, go all in, put all your chips in now. But, yeah, I mean, get a guy that can help certainly be part of a rotation, be a help, because that guy, you know, there are guys like that out there.
All right, well, keep us posted.
All right.
All right, JK.
Thanks, buddy. John. Appreciate it, John.
Thanks.
Based on that last conversation, I'm putting up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. But the Commanders 7-2 atop the NFC East. Do you want to see them make a trade before the deadline, which is tomorrow? You can vote at Junks Radio. We'll be right back and tackle that next.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.